Well, good morning. How's everybody doing today? It's a great Sunday. I'm glad that you all are here. It's an awesome time together. If you're a guest here, welcome. My name's Todd. I'm the pastor. It's great to have you here this morning. I hope that it felt like home from the time that you walked in the doors. You know, we'd love for you to connect both to God and the people in the church. The best way for you to do that, at least the easiest way, is fill out the connection card in the seat back in front of you, and there'll be an opportunity to put that in a basket when it comes by towards the end of service. Also, we mail you a really cool gift if you do fill it out, so you don't want to miss that. And speaking of doors, by the way, y'all noticed that we're missing a whole bunch if you haven't been in a while, and it's under construction, and we're glad that you guys are here, but we are a church that... Look, this is just fundamental to who we are. I love everybody that comes. It's our heart, and we just want to reach people and build lives. You'll see that branded on everything because that's who we are. But really, we're making a place for those who aren't here yet. That's what we're doing. So we're making a place for those who aren't here yet, but we know that they're coming. You know, Psalm 68:6 says, God makes a home for the lonely. And it is our heart to be a home that people come to that they may have never experienced in their life. And they through us, recognize the goodness of God is at work. You know, Romans 2:4 says that it's the kindness of God that leads people to turn from their ways and their sin. And man, our heart is to be a church that doesn't just say that, but we live that out. And, you know, the reality is that we do an awful lot of reaching out because it's our heart, because we want to reach people and build lives. And thank you for all of you that you've served everything from hurricane relief to 157 families that we got to bless with Thanksgiving dinner. Can we get a clap for that again? Because that's amazing. Thank you guys for your generosity. This Christmas, we're going to be providing Christmas for over 200 underprivileged kids. And I know you want to be a part of that. And I know my family and I are going to be a part of that. So after service, and you may have to wait for a little bit because we had a huge rush, but there's a Christmas tree in the foyer. When you walk out to the left, you can get get actually some of our little sponsor tags where you can sponsor the kid and you can either give money or get gifts. And we want to be a blessing to at least 200 kids. And we already have that worked out through many of the local public schools. And so don't you love that? The next thing that you can do when you go out in the foyer on your way out is you can go to the right and you can see where we have members of our prison ministry team. And if you've ever had a heart for reaching those who are incarcerated, you need to connect with them. They do an amazing job in reaching out to those people and showing them love and life and light. And we've seen them, many, many people, not just give their heart to the Lord in prison, but also get out and get plugged in the church. And it's so cool to see a life transform because that's what God wants for us, is transformation. And he wants to use us in transformation. Man, I'm just going through my list of things here. I know it's a lot. Y'all just follow with me. The last thing, though, is we do have a heart for those who aren't here yet, but they're never going to come unless we go to them. And so here's what we've just found with our services. Like, we do outreach every single week, but our services are the biggest outreach that we have. So for Christmas, we're going to have three services. Everybody say 9:30, 11, and 12:30. And my heart is for you to invite people. Invite people, because I'm just telling you, God's at work. And he's doing really cool things here, and he'll do cool things in those people that you're inviting. So here's what we've done. In the seat back in front of you, you actually may have already seen it. It's an invitation card that just says, welcome, they're Christmas Eve at Church of the King and has the service times. I want you to take that, utilize that, give that to your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, bring people. I really believe we'll be over 1,200 on that Christmas, on the 24th. But also we have on the way out at the Welcome Center, where you see the big blue welcome sign, we have these cards, which are pay it forward cards, which is if you're in line at, let's say, Starbucks, and you pay for somebody's drink in front of you, you can give it to the cashier and say, listen, I just want to be a blessing, pay for the people behind me. And can you just give them that? And it just says something extra to show you that God loves you. Isn't that cool? Pick those up. Man, I'm excited about this series. It's called The Greatest Gift, and today we're talking about the making of a miracle. And miracles happen all around us. How many of you would love to see a miracle take place in your life? Good, that's a great response. Man, my heart is that, yes, that we see miracles take place in our life, but let me just tell you right now that the cooler thing is for God to use you to be a part of a miracle. And that's my passion, is to see you not just receive a miracle, but to be a part of a miracle in somebody else's life. So that's just extraordinary. It kind of reminds me, though, the old Boudreaux was coming up from Cameron, you know, because he wanted, you know, that Christmas spirit. He wanted to get his wife a really, really, really fancy and nice gift. So he drove up from Cameron all the way up to the Highway 14 Walmart right there. I know. And he drives in the parking lot. Hits, poo yaw. Man, that's a lot of cars up in there. And he starts making circles trying to find a parking spot where he can park. But it's Christmas season and it's packed out. And so he's like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do, man. Clotilde, she need a good gift. I got to. And so he prays. He said, God, if you find me a parking lot, I promise I'll go to church every Sunday for the rest of my life. And I'm never going to be drunk again. I promise that, God. He finishes his prayer right about the time he's turning that car down another aisle, and he sees an open, just like heaven's opened up, and there's a parking spot right there. And he says, without missing him, he says, oh, never mind, Lord, I found one. He missed the miracle. He missed the miracle. And here's what I want for you. I want you to get the miracle that God has for all of us. That's my heart and passion, that you get the miracle that God has for you. You know, this whole Christmas season, and really the Christmas story, is a story of expectation. It's a story about expecting. And in fact, Mary was expecting, wasn't she? That is the Christmas. It's amazing how our culture even teaches us, as secular as our culture is, there's something special in the air around Christmas. There's a spirit of expectation that maybe something good can happen. Maybe something supernatural will take place. And I'm just telling you, it's the heart of God for us to have a spirit of expectation. Four times in my life, my wife has told me, I'm expecting. Let me just tell you right now, that gets your attention, man. That gets you. You're, wait, what? It'll get your attention, but can I tell you, with each one of my children, what a joy it is to see that take place and to see that being come to life. Like, literally, it's a miracle. And I just can't help but look at the picture of Mary and what she went through to birth the Savior of the world, God himself. It's pretty crazy. It's a great story. As a kid, I very clearly remember the excitement on Christmas Eve. Does anybody else, you remember how it was? I remember as a kid laying in bed trying to go to sleep, but thinking Christmas morning is gonna be awesome. It's gonna be great. I'm so excited. And I remember I was probably, I don't know, 7 years old. And I wanted, more than anything else, I wanted a red racing bike with a number plate on the front. Y'all remember this is like 1981, 82. And I remember just wanting so bad. I wanted a racing bike, and there was so much expectation there. In fact, can I show y'all the picture of what I got? I woke up to on that Sunday morning. Come on, that's cute, isn't it? Come on. It's country, country, country. This is Cajun land, because look in the background. This is the living room. You keep the guns in the living room. That's right. Come on now. I know. That's so Cajun. And I'm not Cajun at all. Sorry. But there's a spirit of expectation. And I just want everybody here to know that God is one who fulfills his promises. You know, if we look at the story of Christmas, and we're going to today out of the book of Luke, but prior to the New Testament, prior to Mary getting a word from an angel that was sent by God, there was a 400-year period where God was silent. Has God ever been silent in your life? Have you ever asked yourself, like, God, like, what's going on? Like, did I mess up? Like, what's going on? Like, maybe I did mess up and I'm sorry, forgive me, but like, where are you? And I think there are many people who struggle with the where are you, God, that question in their life. I can't answer definitively why God was silent for 400 years. I do know that Israel at that time was acting in a very dark way. And yet, even in the darkest moment, God showed up. And before that dark season, that silent season of 400 years, where God didn't send a single prophet, where God never spoke to his people, we see in Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, verse 9, or chapter 9, verse 2, it says, it's a prophetic word. It says, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. for those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. And it was all about, if you look at the heading in your Bible, it's going to say the promise of the Messiah or something along those lines. Because even at the darkest, in the deepest dark, I don't care if you're at the deepest, darkest place you've ever been in your life, there is a light that is shining through. This is the miracle of Christmas. So what is the making of a miracle? And I really believe that as we look for the next 3 weeks at the Christmas story, and specifically at Mary, I think we can see what are the components for us to be able to receive the miracle that God has for us and the miracle that has already been given. And so let's turn to our Bibles, to Luke chapter 1. If you have your sermon notes out in the worship guide, you can get those out. If you haven't downloaded the app, you can, and you can take notes there. If you have your Bible, get it out. We're going to read verses 26 through 38. It's the Christmas story. It says, In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. And Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You'll conceive and give birth to a son, and you'll name him Jesus. He will be very great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say that she was barren, but she's conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." And Mary responded, "I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you've said about me come true." And then the angel left her. This is the very beginning of the Christmas story. It's God, after 400 years of silence, breaking that silence with the proclamation that he was sending his son into the world. It's pretty profound. And so my heart for you today is that you understand the components for what makes a miracle. It's really pretty simple, honestly. Here's the first one. Number one, it begins with God. It begins with God. Every miracle starts with him. How do we know that? Because here's the component. Here's what's required for something to be a miracle. You ready? Every miracle happens. You need to get this down. It's in your notes. Every miracle happens because of a need. Because somewhere there's a need. And God shows up. It begins with him. But here's what I don't want you to do. Because here's the temptation. Well, if every miracle begins with a need, let me grab my pen. Let me grab my paper. Hold on. Let me start taking notes. All right, God, let me show you my needs. And we start writing them down. And here they are. Here they are. Here I have all of these needs. Here they are. Let's start with finances, God. All right, here we are. I need more. Relationally, you need to fix the people around me, God. I really need you to fix them because they are messed up. Totally. Have you met my wife? You created her. Well, I'm not going to say it was a mistake, but some of you might think that. I hope you don't. That we just go down the list and we make up this list of needs that we have going, God, I need you to miraculously show up. Not recognizing that if we are the ones that identify what the need is, we've just made God Santa Claus. God's not Santa Claus. He determines what the need is. And you may say, well, I need this. Listen, if you don't have it right now, you don't need it right now. That's painful and it can be hard. We don't like that, but that's kind of the truth. Because every miracle begins with God. What did he need? And this is where it gets interesting, at least from my perspective. As I read this story, I look at Mary, who after 400 years of silence, a teenage girl from a peasant family has a visitation from God's right-hand angel, and he shows up, and he says, "Favored woman, God's with you." What did God need? God needed someone that knew his promises. That's the second. That's underneath this. What's our role? If the miracle begins with God, what's our role? Here's the first one. I think Mary just met this so well, that she knew his promises. She knew his promises. Every Jewish person from little tiny bitty, I mean, let's just be honest, the Jews do not lack in education. You're just not going to meet a Jewish family that is like, education's not that important. I mean, it's important. And this is generational transfer. For little bit, they're instructing, even back in biblical times, of God's ways and God's promises and God's story in their life. Mary knew them, and she knew his promises. What did God need? God needed a righteous person. Look at verse 28 through 33. It says, Gabriel appeared to her and said, here it is, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. She knew this promise right here, that she was favored and that God was with her. Do you know that? Do you really know that God considers you a favorite? This was just past week, actually, in my truck. I had my kids in there, not all of them, but I think I had three of them in my truck with me. And somebody said, I think it was the littlest one, that said, Dad, who's your favorite? Who's your favorite? Somebody else answered, it's the one that's with Dad. Because I've said that over and over, actually, in church, and it did me a little proud because I think it's testament that he was listening. But here's the reality. It's truth. Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Do you know that you can be God's favorite? Did you know that? I've got four kids. Ask me which one's my favorite. I'm just going to tell you the one that's with me right now. Okay. Come on. Which one? Come on, Mom and Dad. Which one's your favorite? Well, they're kind of all your favorite, but since he's right here right now, that one's my favorite. Well, you like him better than the others? No, but they're not here right now. So like, he with me. Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Now, let me just remind you that God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's all over the place. So God is at every place, at all times, seeing all. He is with everyone. But guess who he's looking for? Guess for the need that God has for the miraculous to take place, for us to know that he is with us and for us to be with him. And when we recognize that God is already everywhere and we have to choose to be with him, and then we choose it, we automatically become this, favored. Because God's with us. And if God, and this is Romans 8, if God is with us, who can be against us? Because everybody's like, you have to know God's promises. Years ago, my wife and I took a trip to California, and we were in Santa Barbara. It was a foggy morning. At that time, I was pretty, I've always been a morning person, but I would oftentimes make my wife get up. I don't do that now. That's just stupid. She's a night owl. Let her do her night owl thing. I'll do my morning thing. But I drug her up early, and we went to Santa Barbara. You remember this baby? And we went down to the beach, but it was like so foggy, you couldn't see anything. So we're like, hey, they have a bus system. Let's go up to the courthouse. So we get right by the beach. We get on the bus, and it's early in the morning. Nobody's there. And We enter the bus, and it's completely empty, so there's, the driver here, and then my wife sits right behind him, and then I sit right next to her, and then there's this, little tiny seat right here with a bar, like a pole sticking up. And so we're like, okay, we're going to have the bus to ourselves all the way up to the courthouse, 12 blocks away. And they're not big blocks, but, hey, it's nice. We didn't want to walk it, and so we start going, and then as soon as we get to the end of that block, he stops at the next block, and I'm like, who's getting on one block? And I look out, and there's this really skinny, bohemian, I don't want to say hipsterish, but bohemian, really skinny girl. And she gets ready to get on the bus, and the doors open up, and as soon as the doors open up, I smell weed, super mega strong. I'm like, welcome to California, thanks. Colorado's next stop. And she gets onto the bus, and she's clearly out of sorts, and she's just kind of standing there, and then she looks all around. And just a little background, I cannot stand the smell of weed. It makes me nauseated. I want to, physically makes me feel like I'm going to lose my lunch. It's just, I just can't stand it. I hate it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that reeks. And she's looking all around, and then she proceeds to her seat, and guess where it is? She literally squeezes, you remember this? She literally squeezes in and sits between the pole and me. And now I'm thinking like, oh. And it's so overpowering and so strong. And I'm like, oh my gosh, how long am I gonna have to bear this? This is ridiculous. She goes one block, which is like 300 feet, and gets off. And I'm like, thank you, God. Here's my point. You get to decide who sits in the seat next to you. You get to decide. Like, it's just like not random. Like, the truth is that many people, you allow the world and its stench to sit right next to you when really you should reserve that seat for the Lord because he's there and you've got to decide, God, am I going to have this stinky, nasty thing here or I'm going to have you right here? And my prayer is that you guys, that all of us, that we reserve that place for the Lord, because when we realize that God's with us, and I'm intentional about that, and he's right here, there's favor. God's miracles begin with him. Our role is we have to know his promise. We have to know his promise. Here's the second thing we've got to know. We've got to understand his timing and his ways. His timing and his ways. You know, the angel says, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. What was Mary's response? Mary's response was, here's what it says. I'm just gonna read it. We don't have to put it on the screen. It says, she, confused and disturbed, she tried to think of what the angel could mean. Oftentimes, when things begin to happen, I'm going, whoa, whoa, God, like God begins to show up, we get a little confused and a little disturbed, like, whoa, 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 what's happened? Because everybody, when I said, who wants a miracle? Who wants to be a part of a miracle? Everybody's going, yeah, that's me, that's me. But let me just remind you of this, that it begins with us knowing his promises, but us also recognizing that his timing and his ways are often very, very different than what we may expect. So maybe we should take those expectations of how and when God is going to move, and maybe we should table them over here. Man, I learned that one really just drove it home when I got serious with my walk with the Lord, and I was just a young man, and I said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want. I'll go to Africa, I'll go to Asia, I'll go to the ends of the earth for you, and I put one tagline. Just don't send me to Lake Charles like you'd ever do that, Lord. God's honest truth. And here I am. And it's awesome, and I love it. You may not understand his timing or his ways. In fact, look at what Mary says when the angel says, hey, by the way, you know, you're gonna bear the Son of God. You're gonna bear the Messiah. And look at her response, verse 34. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I mean, and here's a very logical train of thought as to why it should not be able to happen, because I am a virgin. God, do you think maybe I'm going to have a tough time explaining this one? Do you think maybe this is a little backwards because you're saying that I'm going to be expecting and I should be expecting the Son of God? Let's just be honest. Like now we go, amen, thank you, Lord. But in reality, at that time in Mary's life as a teenage peasant in a society that she knew very clearly, the law stated that if adultery or fornication was ever committed, do you know what the penalty was? It was death. And it wasn't just like, oh yeah, we're just gonna lethal injection. It was lethally hurling rocks at your head. It was terrible. She knew that this was not the norm. So she's like, this is just a logical question. Like, how in the world is this gonna happen, God? Because it doesn't make sense because your timing is a little off here. I'm engaged. Maybe you're just a few months early. Lord, how can this happen? There's no way that this can possibly happen because, hello. Here's our role in recognizing the making of a miracle. It begins with God. I've got to know his promises. And his promise is that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's going on around me. It doesn't matter the world around me. It doesn't matter the choices that other people make and how those consequences affect me. Here's what we've got to know. God's with me. Am I making that place for him? And I've also got to know that I should probably understand his timing and his ways a little different. Many people get bitter with God. I've seen it over and over. They get bitter with God because they had an expectation and a timeline for how and when God was going to perform. That sounds ridiculous saying it, but I've seen it over and over. But I'm holding on to God's promises, and he said that like he would do this, and he told me he'd do it. And like, let me just tell you right now, we're not going to know God's timetable or God's ways. We just can't always know that. I would say most of the time, we can't know that. We just have to know that his promises hold true. And I just can't help but think that a God who is outside of time, God does not view time in a linear fashion. I know that can mess with your brain. And in fact, science has proven that time is not linear. We just experience it in a linear fashion, but time itself is much more than linear. If I'm not going to go into all of this because my wife says it just blows people's brains, and I can get it. I understand that. God's outside of time. So I'm just convinced that when we reach the other side of eternity, and eternity, by the way, does not mean forever. Eternity simply means outside of time. And so when we live in the realm that God lives in, where we're outside of time, I think many of the questions that we have, that we've asked God, we're like, what's going on? That doesn't make sense. That they're going to be answered, and we're going to be able to see the connections between every relationship, every decision, everything all at once. And we go, oh God, when I prayed and you didn't answer my prayer. Oh, that's why. Oh, that makes sense. I didn't see it then. Oh, God, when this person did this to me and you, this, Lord, I get it. My prayer is we get it now and we stop fighting God on his timetable and his ways. The Bible clearly says his ways are not our ways. What's our role in understanding that the miracle begins with God? Know his promises, understand his timing and his ways, and here's the third thing, trust his word. Trust his word. God shows up to Mary after 400 years of silence with an entire nation. He picks a peasant girl. Picks a peasant girl and says, you were favored, God's with you, and then proceeds through Gabriel to bestow upon her an unbelievable blessing. She is going to be the chosen vessel that the Savior, the Messiah, the Son of God is going to come into this world through her. You know, I don't believe in the deification of Mary. It's not biblical. She's not a deity. But she is someone that I do believe that we can emulate because she knew the promises of God. And even though she didn't understand, she said, the Bible clearly says that she was confused and she was disturbed. And she says, what do you mean? What do you mean? This doesn't make sense. And then when the angel explains further, she says, wait a minute, how can that happen? That doesn't even make sense. How can that happen? I'm a virgin. This doesn't make sense. And then the angel tells her, and he says, yes, your old relative, Elizabeth, who could never have children. Everybody said she was barren. At least they used to. She's so old, she was past that age of even being barren. Yeah, I guess she's definitely never going to have kids. She is pregnant, and she's expecting a child. And then verse 37, boy, I love it. The angel says to her, for nothing is impossible with God. I'm going to say it again. You might want to say it along. For nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. Nothing. So when she voices her doubts, her confusion, her disturbances, her questioning, like, how can this happen? What do you mean? Like, God, the angel simply responds with not just the miracle of her giving birth to the Messiah, but referencing someone else, her relative, who's way too old to have kids and says, you know what? Your relative, she's real old. Everybody said she was barren, but she's not. She's going to have a kid. And here's why. Because nothing's impossible with God. And look at this. Look at the next verse. Look at verse 38. It's one of my favorite verses. It says, Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. Mary didn't react. Mary didn't freak out. Mary didn't go, oh my gosh, it's not happening the way that I thought. This is so crazy. I can't. She did not freak out. She simply responded. And look at how she responded. She's confused. She's disturbed. She doesn't understand what the angel means. She says, how can this happen? She doesn't understand it all, but she says, I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you've said come true. She trusted God's word. But let me just remind you that you'll never be able to trust God's word if you don't know it. How do we know God's promises? Do we just like pull them out of thin air? Can I just tell you, God's promises are found in the Bible. Mary knew it very well. And she knew that God was faithful and trustworthy. She may not understand his timing. She may not understand his ways, but she recognized that she had a responsibility because she truly knew the promises. She may not understand everything, and she trusted God. She acted in faith. I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you said about me come true. And my prayer is that you do the same. That we all do the same. All of us do the same. That we say, God, I may not understand what's going on, but Lord, I have a heart for you. I believe your promise, and I believe that I'm favored because I'm with you. I know you're everywhere, but Lord, I want to be with you. And there's a big difference between God being everywhere and us being with him. And when we are, that we get to that place where we're his favorite, just because it's not that he loves us any more than anyone else, but we are with him. And there's a bond that takes place when two people are together. Have you ever seen people who've been married for 60 years? They look alike, they talk alike, they act alike. Why is that? Because it's a spiritual principle that is operating in the natural world, that you become like the people that you hang out with. And when you reserve that seat for God, you become like him. And when you become like him, he's gonna use you to do his work in this world today. It begins with God. Here's the second thing though. It continues with us. It continues with us. The Bible says that he gave us a treasure in jars of clay. I know nothing about pottery, other than you can break it. And you can glue it back, because I've done both. Come on. And even though we may be broken pottery, that when we bring that brokenness to God and we say, Lord, here is the mess of me, he puts it back together. We don't get to lay claim to what he does. You can try. Then he'll just step away and let it all fall to pieces again. But when you allow him to rebuild your life and you say, Lord, here's the mess of me, and you allow him to be the glue that holds everything together, he'll use you and his light will shine through. And you know where it shines through? In the broken places. It shines through the brokenness. People will go, well, how do you have it all together? And then you begin to tell your story and you let them see the cracks in your life where God took brokenness and sin and rejection and he brings it back. He molds it into righteousness and holiness and love and acceptance. Man. It continues with us, but it begins and it continues with him. We just get to be a part of the process. And we have to know, Jeremiah 29:11. I love it. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. God knows the plans that he has for you. I'm gonna say that again, because it's really important. God knows the plans that he has for you. Do you believe him? Because let's go back to expectation. What do you expect tomorrow morning to look like? Listen, tomorrow morning could be a train wreck. I don't know. Or it could be the Westlake train. Either one. They're both bad. We may have things that we consider curveballs in our life, but here's the three areas of expectation that we've got to get if we want to see God move in a powerful way. Here's the first one. Expect God to show up. Expect God to show up. If you have an Eeyore mentality of, oh, it's always miserable, it's always raining, you are so far from seeing God move in your life because you've just told God that your misery is more important than his hand. Stop that. Let's just stop. Let's expect God to show up. Let me just tell you, my heart for you is that you can expect that in your life. Look, he's not expecting you to be perfect because we're messed up oftentimes, but I do expect God to move in our life, and he expects us to be at the place, not of perfection, but of progress. And that every day that you go, wow, I didn't mess that up. I used to, I'd have gone off. I'd have said this, 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 and this. And then all of a sudden, well, I only said that once today. And to where we get to the place where we become more and more and more like him. Let me just say, you are not destined, like, you don't have to sin every day. Timothy tells us that we've been given a divine nature. The reason that we step into sin is not because, oh, just that old sin nature that I just can't get rid of. It's simply that we're not trusting God at the place. We're allowing him at all times to be in that seat. And then we leave ourselves to our own devices. And then what do we expect? Man, expect God to show up in your life. Expect him to show up in your life. Let me tell you, I expect him to show up in this house. And we have some amazing people, but it's bigger than the amazing people. It's certainly not because, oh, the pastor's that great. No, it's because God has a heart for this place. God has a heart for us. Let me just tell you right now, God is with us and God favors us. I don't know why, but he does. I do know this. Before there was even a movie theater here that was built in 1982, they had a Catholic couple that was driving by and felt like God told them to stop at this very property. I found this out probably 4 years ago. Stop at this very property, bury oil, which is a representative of God's spirit. Bury oil and pray over this place because they felt that God was telling them that there was going to be a great work that took place here. Isn't that awesome? Do we truly expect that? And we gotta know. We gotta know. God's going to show up. Stop focusing on the season of silence and focus on the promise that he has for us, individually and corporately. Next thing, expect God to use people. Expect God to use people. God will use people. Let me just tell you, if you don't think this little bitty pay it forward card can be a huge deal, you're so mistaken. Even today, I was given an unexpected gift. And it was just unexpected. I didn't expect it. There was nothing I'd done to deserve that. Somebody just gave me a really an amazing card and just wrote scripture on it. And it's like every single word in that card was just for me. It was almost like it was a prophetic word. Like it was like God just showing up. I know it was out of Psalms and just, but every single line, I'm like, oh my, it just put me at the point of tears. God will use people. About a month ago, Lisa and I were at a bookstore. It was a Christian bookstore. And we've got a bunch of books and we're checking out. We go to the checkout and I don't know, it's not even around here, and I don't know the guy behind the counter, and he's never seen me, but I put all of the books on the counter, and he looks at me and says, you're gonna need a pastor's discount, right? I'm like, okay, yeah, how'd you know that? He's like, I could tell. It's like, that's a little weird. And then he proceeds to say some really mind-blowing things. He's like, God's really gonna show up in your church, and you're gonna experience even in the next couple months, some really neat things, just some real spiritual experiences, and that God's gonna really do a work, and it's gonna be like a revival in your church, but just like you put the books on the table in a very orderly way, and I have to have them by size, and then I have to move them to the left edge so that if I ever have to pick them up, then they're right there. I like things like just so. Anybody else like that? It's like, just as God, he's made you, that's what it's going to be like, but just know that God's at work, and he's coming to your church. I'm like, wow, that's pretty crazy. And it was just confirmation. I get that word and the word that, hey, Church of the King's kind of like a hospital, like over and over and over by people who've never met and never could possibly meet in just random world because it's from all over the place. But here's what I want us to recognize. God's gonna show up, but that he'll use people to confirm and also to carry out his work. That's why those little cards are so cool, because you don't know what's on the other side of your obedience. That guy probably never thought a second, like since that meeting at the bookstore, he probably never thought another moment about that, but it was life transforming. It's an encouragement. And here's the last thing that you need to expect. Expect the unexpected, because it's probably not gonna happen when you want it to happen. God is never ever late, but he's seldom early. He misses a lot of opportunities to show up early. He's like barely on time. It's like last minute. Like, really, God? Come on. Expect the unexpected, because it's probably going to happen in a way that you might not think about. Might happen in a timing that's a little different. But here's what happens when you recognize the making of a miracle begins with God. He sees the need. He recognizes it. Your responsibility is to know what he says, know his promise. That's why I'm constantly saying, get in the Bible, read the Bible. We've got a Bible plan on our website. I don't know if it's on our app, but it will be here soon, right, Pastor Josh? And know his promises, understand his ways, recognize that God's at work. But here's the last thing, and it's the biggest thing about understanding the making of a miracle. It ends in transformation. It ends in transformation. Every miracle, whether it happens to us or we get to be a part of it, it ends in transformation. That is the heart of God. That is the point of faith. That is the point of every miracle, is to transform something. So Israel, at its darkest, with 400 years of silence, God shows up and says, oh wait, you thought this was the darkest, well let me shine the light in right now, because transformation is coming. And Jesus showed up and changed everything. He changed it all. Look at John 1, 4, and 5. John 1, 4, and 5 says, it says, the Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. Look at that. The Word, it's capitalized. Do you know why? Because it's Jesus. As we wrap this up, I want you to get this. It says, in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then when we jump to verse 4, and the Word, Jesus, gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. If you go back to Genesis, do you know that God said, let there be light, before he created the sun? I want you to think about that. Jesus was the light of the world before there was even a sun. And today we have the opportunity to allow him, this Word, Jesus, the creator of all, to bring light to all of us. What's the point? The point of every miracle is transformation. Because God has a heart for those who find themselves in the darkest of situations. And he'll shine light. He'll shine. And some of you today, you need that light shining in your life. Let's bow our heads. Father, I just pray that today, that you move on people's hearts. That God, that you let them see that regardless of where they are, how dark their circumstances are, how dark their thoughts may be, that there's even thoughts of suicide, there's thoughts of hopelessness and despondency, that God, that even today that you're saying, I'll bring light into those dark areas. I'll bring light. I'll bring light. God's greatest miracle ever was Jesus coming into this world to bring light into areas of darkness. John 1 says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus takes every dark area of our lives and he shines his light. I don't know if you've ever been in a really dark room and somebody lights a candle or a lighter. There's something that happens when you've been in total darkness and somebody lights a light, you're drawn to it. You can't even help it. Before you know it, your feet are moving in that direction. And for some of you today, that God is dealing with areas of your heart where there's darkness and he's calling you to the light. You see it, you can sense it now, and there's that drawing to it. Don't fight it. God's got his hand on your heart and your life. And today, Jesus is shining. He's speaking. I'm just a guy, but Jesus is speaking to you. The light is shining, and he's calling you to him. If you're here, you say, Pastor, I know that's me today. And I want the light of God in my life. I need to get rid of this darkness. I need to turn from it and turn to him. If that's you, nobody's looking around, but if that's you, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you right where you are. Hands all over the place. Let's just all pray together right now. Say, dear God, I choose you. I turn to your light, Jesus. I'm surrendering areas of darkness, areas of sin, areas of hopelessness. I'm surrendering to you. I want to be with you. I'm yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's what's so cool. This series is called The Greatest Gift. And each week for the next 3 weeks, I want to talk about the gift that I believe that God has for us. And today, and it's the last blank. So those of you that are saying, Pastor didn't fill in the last blank, here it is. The gift is faith. The gift is faith. And for those of you that you prayed that prayer and you meant that from the deepest areas of your heart, and you're saying, God, I believe that your light can vanquish the darkness, can we give them a hand? That's awesome. What an amazing Sunday. I love you guys.